you thankful for that tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we go before the Lord and His Word tonight. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, just to be able to gather once again, Father. And I just add my prayer to the prayers that have already gone forth, Father. Lord, we're looking to You, Lord, as the provider of all that we have need of. Father, You've never failed us. You never will fail us, Lord. Lord, You always come through, Lord. You always give us just what we need. And so we're looking to You tonight, Father. We're looking to glorify You, Lord. We don't want to glorify ourselves. We don't want to lift any man up, Father. We just want to lift You up, Lord. And we know that You have something special for Your young people tonight, Lord. I know, Lord, that if they'll pull on You, Lord, if they'll reach out by faith, Lord, to You, Lord, You never disappoint. Lord, You're able to reach down into every single life tonight, Lord, and minister, Lord, to draw, to pull, to fill, Lord. I pray that You would do that tonight, Lord. Meet each one, Lord. As they take a step towards You, Lord, may You just move in their direction tonight. Move in their life, Father. May each one that's come tonight, Father, may we not leave this place the same as we came in, Lord. But may we leave it tonight a little more victorious, Lord. A little closer to You, Lord. A little more of the world scoured out of us, Lord. A little more of the flesh cut away. A little more of Your glory shining in our lives. A little bit more filled with Your Spirit, overflowing, Lord, a wellspring of water in our lives. Lord, I believe that's each and every one of our heart's desires tonight, Lord. We thank You, Father. We just pray that You bless Your Word as we read it here tonight. Lord, may it just become so real to us, Lord. We can read Your Word, Lord. We could speak in a lecture form, Father, but it's all for nothing if Your Spirit doesn't come and anoint it, Lord. So we just pray that Your Spirit would move on Your Word, Lord. Your Word is eternal. It's a firm foundation tonight, Lord, but we know that Your Spirit is sent to make it live. And I pray that You would do that tonight, Father. Make it a living Word to us. We love You. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be here tonight? Amen. Amen. I believe it was mentioned, we just want to lift up Brother Baker tonight. He's feeling a little under the weather, so just pray that the Lord would touch him. Amen. And I don't know if it was mentioned again. I know it was mentioned this morning, but don't forget there's no service Wednesday night. Amen. So we keep mentioning it because we don't want somebody to show up. Amen. Forget. So there'll be no service Wednesday night. We're looking forward to just a time of Thanksgiving with our families. Amen. And gathering together if we're able to do that. Amen. But we have a lot to be thankful for in the Lord. Amen. Well, let's turn into our scriptures tonight and have something on my heart for the young people and the old people and everybody in between tonight. Amen. We'd like to start reading here in John chapter 9. And what we're going to do tonight is I have a pretty good little list of scriptures here. And most of them I'm going to read in the King James, and then I'm also going to read them in the Amplified Bible. And you'll see why I believe here in a little bit. But these first couple of readings here, we'll just read out of the King James together. We'll read here in John chapter 9 and then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So John chapter 9, verse 4, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So he's recognizing that his time is very limited. Amen. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then 2 Corinthians 6:1, he says, "We then, as workers together with him. So we just heard his work, right? The expression of his burden, right? To work the works of him that sent me while it's day. And now Paul is coming back and saying, well, we then are workers together with him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. So we want to speak tonight about seizing the opportunity. Amen. Seizing the opportunity. Amen. And if we could look at, we'll look at some scriptures that speak about redeem the time. Amen. But Jesus is telling us here what motivates him. Amen. And what his burden is. We know we're all motivated by something. And he's telling us, there's a press in my life to work the works that God has sent me to do. Amen. That he that sent me while it is day, because he says the night is coming. And that it's not a physical day and night, but what he's speaking about is his day. His allotted time to do that work is his day. Amen. And he's saying, and then there's a night coming when that work, it's no longer time for that work. Right. Amen. Nowadays, people work day, night, day, night, day, night. But in times past when man worked the fields and were farmers and stuff, you didn't work at night. Amen. As soon as the sun went down, that was it. You couldn't see. And as soon as the sun came up, that was time to work. You worked during the day, and when night came, the work was finished. You couldn't say, I want the day to last just a little bit longer. Nope. If you had work still to do, you had to wait till the next day. So Jesus is speaking about his time, his window, amen, a space of time, his day where he is able to work. And he says that he's showing us that he sees it as an opportunity. Amen. And that's the word that we want to focus in on here tonight, just for a little bit, is that word of opportunity. We're seizing the opportunity. Amen? And so he recognizes, I have a time, I have an opportunity. And an opportunity, it means a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. That's what an opportunity is. It's conditions or circumstances that makes something possible. Oh, think about that. Something possible. Maybe it wasn't possible before, but now it's possible. Amen. Suddenly that opportunity is there. And it's possible. Hallelujah. What is possible for us tonight? Amen. He said all things are possible. Amen. If it's possible, then it's an opportunity that you have before you. It's a gift to you to have an opportunity, to have something made possible for you. Amen? So he said, I must work. His heart was in it. What the Father had called him to, his heart was in that work. Amen? And he didn't shirk back from it. He said, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. While I'm here on earth. Amen? He only had a 33 years to live on earth. And he was humble, but he didn't shirk back from it, saying that I'm the light of the world. I've got to do what I'm called to do. Amen? And we shouldn't be ashamed to say, brother, sister, that we are the salt of the earth. And we are lights on a hill. We are the children of God. That's not boastful. That's just stating a fact, amen? That's recognizing what God has placed us here to do. Amen? He didn't say, oh, it couldn't be me. Oh, I'm nothing. He said, no, I've got to work. I've got a space of time to accomplish what I've been sent to do. Amen? So each day that he walked on earth was an opportunity for him to do the work of God. that the Word said He would do. And the time of our life is our day. Amen? You have a day, but night is coming. It's always lingering there. You know that it's going to come. Amen? The time in our life is a finite space of time. And we don't know when our night will come. Now, the night could be the going away of the church. It could be the coming of the Lord and the ending of this age. But it could be you going home. We don't know which will happen first. But we do know that night approaches. As sure as it's day, night is coming. Which means a time, an ending of the opportunity that you had to stand for God. The ending of opportunity that you have to accomplish things in the kingdom of heaven. Because once night comes, figurative night, right, where there's no more work, it's actually a time of rest for us. He said, my beloved will enter into the rest where we won't work anymore, right? But that also means that it's done. There's no more medals to be won. Amen? You know, Brother Branham told us that story about the Roman general and how glorious it was for, Caesar would go through and he would pin medals on his generals. And we know that men drew great glory from those times of battles and things, right? But when the battle was over, there's no more victory to be won. Amen? And what do you think, what do you think the stories will be that will be told through eternity? It'll be stories of the victories. It'll be stories of the battles that have been won. Because there will be no more battle. There will be no more work. There will be no more things, victory to be had. Because it'll all be over. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We're looking forward to that. But as much as we look forward to that, we don't want to neglect the opportunity that we have in front of us right now. Satan would like nothing more for you to not recognize that you've got an opportunity right now to stomp on his neck. Amen? To give him a real black eye. To win a real victory. Our day is our opportunity. The time that you have here on earth is a gift that you've been given. Amen? It's valuable. Some people just throw it away. They take their life and they count it as nothing, you know? They waste it away with drugs. Amen? Or they let a demon convince them to throw it away in suicide. Amen? That's a demon power that wants to take away the opportunity God has given you. Amen. The life that you've been given is not random. It's not like, you know, it just happened by accident and boom, you found yourself here. God gave you this gift. He gave each and every one of us the breath of life. He placed us here for a specific opportunity. For you to serve him in this specific time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what we want to do is we want to seize the opportunity. Amen. We don't want to just talk about it and say, oh, that's great. That's nice that we have it. We want to grab a hold of it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at this scripture here in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is going to be kind of the heart of our message here tonight. We're going to read it in King James and then we'll read it in the Amplified. This is Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. And see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Okay, so let's read this in the Amplified because The King James, you know, it's very condensed, and there are specific words in there that we don't use every day, right? So Amplified just takes the words and fills in the definition of the same words. Verse 14, it says, "For this reason he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine as dawn upon you and give you light." Aren't you thankful that you've seen the light? Amen. Aren't you thankful that you heard that call that said, "Awake, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Amen. Verse 15, therefore, so because you've awoken, because the light of God has shined on you, because the light of this gospel has shone in your life and you've received it, therefore, because of that, he says, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage. This is good advice for all of us, amen? Yes. Amen, but we're directing this to the young people, of course, tonight. Live your life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, and discerning people. Making the very most of your time on earth. Hallelujah. Making the very most of your time on earth. Recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity. And using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. So that's our theme tonight, that we would recognize and take advantage of each opportunity and use it with wisdom and diligence. Amen. That's what we want to do. Amen. That's what we want to speak about. Because we've been woken up. We're awake. We're not sleepwalking. We're not dulled to what's going on around us. We're aware. Amen? You know, woke has become kind of a slang term, right? And depending on how you look at it, it's good or bad or whatever. But this is the original woke. Amen? God has awoken. Amen? He has taken someone who was asleep in sin and in the world and covered over in sin, and he has awoken them to become aware. That's what that word means. Now you're aware. And that's how we take advantage of the opportunities, is we are aware. We're awoken to it. Our eyes are open. We were dead and asleep and we didn't know what we had, but now we're no longer oblivious. Amen? To the reality of Christ and the things of the Spirit and the workings of our enemy. And we see the things that the enemy is doing, but we also see the things that God is doing. Amen. We're awoken to it. Amen? The Word has been opened up to us. The light, Christ, has shone in our lives. Why? Because he said that was his business. He says, "I am the light." Amen? Your business is to wake up. Then let the light shine out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Take advantage of the light. How silly we would be to not take advantage of what has been given to us. Amen? But he said, walk carefully, living with honor and purpose and courage. I like that, don't you? Amen? Making the most of your time on earth. So the King James says redeeming the time, and that's how it expanded it out. But that actual word there, and I like this, that word, because we quote the King James often, right, where it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that's why I said it's words that we don't really use too often. We don't talk about redeeming the time other than in the context of this scripture sometimes. But that word, there in the Greek means to buy up at the marketplace. To buy something up. And if you think about it, it's not just to buy it, but it's to buy it up. Okay? So in other words, like, you buy it all. Amen? If you think about something that is in season, we don't experience this too much these days because we get our food and fruits and things from all over the world. So like, you know, for example, we can get bananas just about year round nowadays, right? But that wasn't always the case. Amen? Certain food is in season in certain areas, and if that's all you can get, if you can't get it from somewhere else in the world, that's the only time you can get it, is when it's in season. Once it's gone, it's gone. You go, oh, I'll pay you double. I'll pay you triple. They say, I'm sorry, we don't have it. You had an opportunity to buy that fruit or whatever that is when it was here, when it was available, when it was in season. And that was it. You say, well, I missed it. I missed the opportunity. Wait till next year. Right? We probably all experienced that. Sometimes now they have things that are only available like in the holidays. Like right now you'll see things that are only available this time of year. Right? So redeeming the time means to go and to buy it up for one's use. To make wise and sacred use of the opportunity. Amen. Amen. Something that's fixed or limited in time, and you get all you can while it's there. Amen. It's not about, well, I'll leave some for somebody else. The beautiful thing about God's economy is you don't have to worry about that. You get all you can while it's available. Amen. You must recognize and take advantage of it and seize on the opportunity. Because once it's gone, it's gone. You might not ever get that opportunity again. Amen? So we buy it up for one's use. That's what that means. Redeeming the time. Right there in the scripture. Paul says, redeem the time. Buy it all up for your use. Continue on. We want to look at James chapter 4. He says, go now. This is verse 13. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy or sell and get again. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. So he's saying you make plans, right? Today or tomorrow we're going to go to this place. We're going to stay there a year. We're going to do this. He says you don't know what will be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how long a given opportunity will be there for us. We know that it is for a space of time. We know that it is limited. Amen? And so because we don't know that, we have to live in the moment. He says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. It's here for a while and then it's gone. And if you miss the opportunity, you missed it. Amen? That's why we can't live in the past or the future. We have to live today. Let's look at this in investments. Brother Brown says, you see a young fellow. This young fellow saw something in this man that was different than the others. Speaking about Jesus, he says there was a difference because one time it's asked, this man don't speak like ordinary man. There's something about this fellow that's different. Never a man spake like this because when he spoke, God was there to answer what he said. And as I've said many times this week, man is still man. They're praising God for what he did. Amen. Looking forward to what he's going to do. He said, that's us. But you're ignoring what he's doing. Always man does that. Jesus said, you claim to be the children of the prophets, and you're the one that put them in the grave, and you garnish their tombs. See, we're thinking of what God did do on the day of Pentecost and through the early age, and then we're saying, God's going to come with a great something. So, looking back, and then looking forward. And the first thing you know, we pass right by, and we'll never know it. History always proves itself right and it repeats itself. We pass, let it go right by and don't notice it. Now this young man had seen something different. He's seen that there was a difference in Jesus. He wasn't like ordinary man. He'd seen what the man could do, that God was with him. He saw in his life those contrary to his own church teaching, but he saw that man that God was with him. So he's speaking about the humility of the opportunity, right? The how easily we overlook the great opportunity that was before them. They had the Son of God standing in their midst, right? And all of us looking back, we'd say, man, what would I do if I could meet Jesus in the flesh, right? Because we recognize that what was in their midst. Is that right? Looking back, we recognize it. We say, man, that was God in flesh. That was Emmanuel walking with them. Right? Well, that's the easy thing to do, right? Or looking forward to believing God is going to come in a great cloud and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Again, that's easy to do. But it doesn't do us any good if we miss where God is working right now. Amen? And the difficult thing or the challenge that we have is to recognize in today what the opportunity is that God is presenting us with right now. I'm not even talking about yesterday or tomorrow. I'm not even talking about this age. I'm talking about now, today. Why? Because he's the great I am. Amen. He's not the God I was or I will be. He's I am. We're always looking forward or back, and there is value in that if it helps us with today. Amen. Amen. The present is the only way we know God. The God of now. So if we look at the past and we learn from it to help us recognize opportunities now, that's good. If we're looking to the future to help motivate us now, that's good. But we must recognize where we're standing now. We must seize the opportunity of the moment that we have right now. If we don't, the future won't matter. The lessons of the past have no benefit to us if we miss what God is presenting us with right now. Amen? Time is a limited resource. Amen? Individually, we only have so much of it. It's a set amount that we are allotted. Collectively as Gentiles, as the Gentile church, again, we only have a certain amount. Like I said before, the Gentile church may end and that may be the end of your time allotment. Or your time may be up before that. But you have a set amount. Amen? The mercy seat right now is sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. Amen? The atonement for sin, grace, it's a time of mercy right now. But at some point, brother, sister, that throne of mercy, that seat of mercy is going to become a judgment throne. Where those that rejected that mercy or didn't, if I could put it this way, didn't take advantage, amen, of their opportunity for grace. They missed their opportunity for grace. Just like the one that comes to the grocery store and says, oh man, bananas are gone, I missed it. You did. There are no more left. They'll say, where's my, God have mercy on that day. And he'll say, you missed it. Mercy. There was a time of mercy. And you missed it. There's no more mercy. Surely there must be some left. No. No more mercy. Amen. Now is the time of mercy and grace. Now is the time to buy it up for your, buy it all up, all you can get. Because there will many that will stand before him. And they'll plead for mercy. And there will be no mercy. because that opportunity has passed. And they didn't recognize that time, that space that they had for grace. Amen? We have to seize the opportunity. Recognize, take advantage of every opportunity that we have. As I was thinking about this afternoon, I was thinking about, young people. And, like a young man who's, Brother Doug was referencing it this morning. Brother Jackson was talking about that armor company, right? And that young man that he made the promise to the young lady and asked her to marry him and so on, right? The story. And, I was thinking about kind of like the other side of it. If a young man is interested in a young woman and he's proposed to her, And he's asking her to marry. And if she just kind of keeps delaying, right? Oh, yeah, maybe I'll marry you. Yeah, oh, don't ask me that right now. Or let's talk about it later, right? Or, hey, next time we're together, we don't need to talk about that right now, right? If she does that long enough, you know what's going to happen? He's going to say, I don't think she's interested in me. And he's going to go marry somebody else. Right? Eventually, she's going to put him up long enough to where he's going to say, you know what? I'm really not that important. She really doesn't mean it. How many people do that with the Lord? Amen? Amen. He's proposing marriage. Amen. He's asking for our hand in marriage. He's asking for commitment. And for those that just keep pushing it off and putting it off, at some point, he's just going to say, well, I guess they didn't want it. Amen. Amen. Now, he's graceful and he'll ask and he'll re-ask up to a point. But we know there's a time, there's a line you can cross where he just back off and say, okay, you made your choice. That was your opportunity. And you made your choice. Amen? This is Luke chapter 14. Let's just read this parable here. Probably read this many times, but I think it's appropriate here tonight. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus speaking this parable, he says, one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things and said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, they had an opportunity to go feast with this great man. Amen? Now, their response to that told a lot about what they thought of him. Right? What they thought about his offer. He gave them an opportunity to come and to be with him. And they didn't value it. They valued other things over that. Amen? They didn't recognize it as something that was worth their time. Amen? Now we know this is a parable. It's a parable about him. It's a parable about him calling. Say, who's going to come? Amen? I'm calling. Who will answer? Yeah. Brother Brown says this is the message of the worst sinner in the city. He said this, a runner, this young fellow, so he's speaking about the man that came to Jesus to invite him, right, to give the invitation to him to come dine with the Pharisee. So he's focusing on this young man who comes into the presence of Jesus, right? He says this runner, this young fellow, a flunky from the house of the rich Pharisee, well, his errand was over. And he turned away from Jesus and started his road back down home feeling satisfied. He completed everything because he carried out the wishes of his master. Right? So what happened is he delivered the message. He was speaking to Emmanuel. Amen? He had a small space of time where he had a one-on-one conversation with Emmanuel. He had his attention. He delivered his message. And he could have continued that conversation if he wanted to. He was face to face with Jesus. Jesus was looking him face to face and they were having a conversation. What an opportunity. Right? And that's the point he's making. He says, what an opportunity he had. But he walked away, turned his back and walked off. Feeling satisfied that he had completed his mission. Because he'd been sent there to just hand him an invitation. To him, he was just an any other man, just an any other dignitary, just somebody else. Here's your mail. Now let me go on to my next job. He says, what an error. What an error. The man standing in the presence of eternal life. Standing before the very God of heaven. And yet, after he had done all of his religion, his church duties, walked away without even asking for pardoning of his sin. I wish I could stand where he did. Wish I could stand in that place where he was standing. You know what I would do? Oh, I wouldn't be interested so much in church affairs. I'd fall on my face. I'd say, dear Lord Jesus, Master of life, give me your pardoning grace. If I had the opportunity to stand before him. He says, I believe that's about the feeling of everybody here tonight. We would do the same thing. But today, it's just like it was then. We're so taken up with so many things in the church that we got to do. So much the church requires of us and so much places to go. Till really we fail many times to receive the opportunity. Could this be repeating here tonight? Could this be repeating every time we come to church? And maybe he says some night we got to go to practice for song service. We got to go do something else. Something maybe of a religious nature. He said, so he's giving examples like there's nothing wrong with those things, right? But he says, but when the Holy Spirit is speaking at your heart, the best thing you can do is always answer, no matter what it is, what time of night, what kind of an errand you're on, because he might not speak no more for a long time, maybe never. It might be for that one moment, that one time. Amen? Let me just stop here for a moment. This happens. This can happen with spiritual gifts. We know that spiritual gifts or the anointing for different things can fall on different people at different times. And he said a spirit of prophecy might fall on someone one time in their life. And that would be it, that anointing. Just for that one moment. Amen? And you've got to grab that opportunity. Amen? You never know. This is why, you know, the Bible even speaks of ministers being instant in season and instant out of season because you don't know. It's not like everything's planned out. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know when an opportunity is going to drop in your lap. And you won't have that opportunity again. So he's saying, listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit might be leading you to do something, speaking to your heart. And he said the best thing to do is answer right then. Because you don't know. That might be it. It might just come that one time, and then you missed it if you don't respond. Amen? You don't know what he might do. I mean, you might be the one that he uses to heal somebody. You might be the one that he uses to speak some word of encouragement that quickens the faith in somebody, that just pushes them over. They just needed that little bump, that little push. He says, no matter what time of night, what kind of errand you're on, maybe it's in the middle of the night. Amen? That unction comes on you in the middle of the night. You're not sleeping. You don't know why. Well, maybe there's something happening in that very moment, and God is giving you an opportunity to intercede for somebody in prayer. And you've got a chance, a small window. He says he might not speak no more for a long time, maybe never. But listen to this. He says, but this young fellow standing that close to eternal life and never even asked for it. Well, we condemn that man, but you know what? Perhaps maybe you and I have been guilty of the same thing. Standing at mouth or voice distance of eternal life, looking at it, watching it, and walk away from it just as blank as he did. That's right. We're too took up with other things. What's going to happen on the day of judgment when he stands before that one? And Jesus says, I was right there. I was available. All you had to do was ask. And he thinks about it. He's going to think, this is going to happen, brother, sister. This is a real story. This isn't fairy tales. This young man is going to look. Now, we don't know. Maybe the Lord got a hold of him later. I hope, I pray that he did. But if not, he's going to regret that moment. Because he's going to come face to face with the King. Amen? And he's going to say, I was so close to you. It was right there for me to grab a hold of, and I didn't. Brother Branham says, so many people today, you have so many things that you have to do. You have to do your shopping. You got to hurry the this and that. And he says, we're just hurry, and getting nowhere. Getting farther away from God all the time. That's right. He said, but he thought he just completed just exactly what he was supposed to do, and that's all. He did his job, right? He says, many times we come up to the church, sign our name on a paper, shake hands with the pastor, be baptized with water, and think we've done our religion now. And you just leave off the main thing, a talk with the Lord Jesus. Many times you have the opportunity and you don't do it. And I believe that we could probably say that here tonight, amen? How many times do we walk into church, amen, and we miss out on the opportunity that we've been given? Many times we have the opportunity and we don't do it. Amen? But he says, hurry, amen? Satan will give you so much to do that you will miss what's going on around you. It's that way in our everyday lives, amen? You don't have enough. If Satan sees an opportunity coming your way, he's going to give you a distraction. So we understand that we've been speaking about our lives as our day, our opportunity here on earth, the time of our life. But it's more than just that, amen? Because we're honing it down to really, it's not just the big picture. The big picture is, of course, important and right. What we do with our lives, whether we choose to serve him or not, it's of utmost importance. But we also recognize that our days are made up of small opportunities. Amen. Every day, we have to recognize the chance that we have. Amen. That's the key, is to recognize it. That's what that scripture said, right? Recognize and take advantage. Recognize it and take advantage. Those are two different things, and we must do both. And I say that because sometimes we don't recognize it. Amen? And sometimes we recognize it, but something prevents us from taking advantage of it. Amen? So the word is there to help us to recognize it. And of course, there's experience, which is a great teacher. Amen? That helps us recognize, but we have to be the ones to take advantage. So let's look at another scripture here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Simple scripture, right? Let's read it in the Amplified. So then, while we, as individual believers, have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, the born-again believers. Amen. So, we should be looking for the opportunities. We should be on the lookout. We should have our antennas up. We should be aware. That's why the light of Christ has come to waken us up, right? So we are aware of those opportunities. Sometimes they come and go and we didn't realize it until afterwards. Amen? And that happens. That's going to happen. But we have to learn from it. Experience becomes a great teacher. Sensitivity to the Spirit. This is why it's important to be in the Spirit. This is why it's important to be in the right frame of mind, to be in a prayerful attitude. Amen? This is why he tells us to read our Bible and pray, so that we're aware spiritually of what's happening around us. To be watchful, to be mindful, to look spiritually. Amen? And what will happen, brother, sister, is we get better and better at it. And, you know, one of the things when we're young is we don't have all that experience to fall back on. So we have to look to others to help us that have that experience. Amen? And trust that. Sometimes, brother, sister, it's so simple that it would just pass right by us if we aren't paying attention. Sometimes it seems so humble, amen, that others would look at that and go, big deal, right? But you say, no, I know. This is a divine appointment. I know God allowed this exact thing to happen in my life today. I know that this is an opportunity for me. Sometimes it's just speaking a word, amen? Sometimes it's encouraging somebody. Sometimes it's just quoting a scripture to somebody. Just being positive. Sometimes it's up to you to just change the atmosphere. You know, if there's a bad atmosphere, well, one of the things that I hope that you take from this simple thought here tonight is that things that we look at as trials or hardship or negative things should be looked at as opportunities. Amen? When we are in a negative atmosphere, that's an opportunity for you to change the atmosphere. Right? That's why the Bible says, whatsoever things are good, pure, true, there be anything of a good report. Think on these things. Speak about these things. Amen? Amen. Lift each other up. Pray for each other. If someone shares something that they're going through with you, that's an opportunity for you to lift them up. Amen. Amen? Of course, it also means helping physically, financially, however we can. But we should look for those things, look at them as an opportunity to be a blessing. Amen? Amen? We want to look at them that way. Because if we don't identify them that way, we won't grab a hold of it. We won't seize it. we won't do the right thing. And I want to tell you something, brother, sister. The devil takes every opportunity that he's given. Amen? Whenever he's given an opportunity, he takes it. So let's be that way. Amen? We don't often say let's emulate the devil. Right? But you know, his good quality is he's persistent. He's always on the job. And he takes every opportunity that's handed to him. Amen? So that's something that we need. If he's going to do that, we've got to fight back with that. Amen? So So maybe you're wondering, what do you mean give him opportunity? You give him opportunities. You know that? Amen. Amen. Where does he get opportunities to work? We give them to him. Amen. All right, let's just read the scripture then if you don't believe me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. From the Amplified. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Why? Because he's going to take it. And what is he going to do with it? He's going to lead you into sin. By holding a grudge, nurturing anger, or harboring resentment, or cultivating bitterness. The thief who has become a believer, so he's talking about someone who was a thief but now has been converted, must no longer steal. But instead, he must work hard, make an honest living. So what he's saying is, if you were a thief, be the opposite. Don't give yourself opportunity for the devil to tempt you in that again. That's what he's saying, right? Instead, work hard, make an honest living. Do the opposite of what you were. Produce that which is good in his own hands so that he will have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. Ever. But only such speech as it is good for the building up of others. Every time you open your mouth, it's an opportunity. What's going to come out? Your words create. It's an opportunity to create something. According to the needs and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. So you can give opportunities to the devil that he wouldn't have had. Amen? Amen. How many times do we make things harder on ourselves because of that? I want to just look at some of these words. I just love, this is why I wanted to read it in the Amplified, because it brings out all of these words. Right? We invite him by holding a grudge. Like you hold a baby. My little grudge. Amen. No, I'm not going to let go of it. It's mine. Amen. Holding a grudge. Got a death grip on that thing. Brother Baker comes in here, he tries to preach as hard as he can, preaches as hard as he's trying to get that thing from you. No, I won't give it up. It's my grudge. Holding a grudge. Look at these words. Nurturing anger. Again, it's like a little baby, right? We're feeding it. We're patting it. My anger. It's my anger. Amen? Nurturing it, feeding it, making it feel welcome, making sure it's comfortable. Nurturing anger. You got an opportunity to get rid of that thing. Instead, you're giving an opportunity for the devil to wreak havoc in your life by nurturing that thing. Harboring resentment. You know what harboring means? It's giving safety to it, right? Like a ship, you know, a ship that's out on the ocean is at risk, right? It's vulnerable. But once it comes into harbor, harbor is safety. It's a place of protection. Harboring resentment. I'm protecting it. I'm making sure that it can never leave. Harboring resentment. You're just creating opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for the devil to work in your life. Cultivating bitterness. We all know what cultivating is. Oh, I'm watering it. And then I'm feeding it. I'm making sure that it's got everything it needs to thrive. Providing a nice atmosphere for it. Cultivating bitterness. We do this through actions and words. Instead, brother, sister, let's take the opportunity to squeeze the devil out. Amen. Amen? Stop holding the grudge. Stop nurturing anger. Stop harboring resentment. Stop cultivating bitterness. That's your opportunity to squeeze the devil out. And deny him the opportunity to work in your life. Deny him the opportunity to work in your family. Deny him the opportunity to work in this church. Amen. Deny him the opportunity to have, to enter in and wreak havoc in your life. And that's on you. That's for us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. You thought this was going to be a shouting message tonight, didn't you? Amen? Can we look at another one? One more scripture here tonight. Colossians 4, verse 5. Just one verse. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And in the Amplified, it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Each chance that we have to be a light, as Jesus was the light, is precious to us. It should be precious to us. Amen? We should treat it as precious. Amen? We only have so many days, so let's make them count. Amen? And you know, as when we say things like that when we're young, we think, well, we've got lots of days before us, right? As you get a little older, you start to realize your days, they're a little, you can count them a little easier, right? They're more numbered. But I want to turn it for the youth here tonight in a different way. You only have a few days as youth. You only have a short window as a young person. Believe me, I know that. That's true. Every old person here will say amen. It just flew by. I don't know what happened. One day I was a young person full of life. I had no aches and pains. And all of a sudden now, amen, here we are. That window closes quick. But you have that opportunity tonight. This time in your life, you have a fervor for life. You have a freshness for life. To you, it maybe doesn't seem that way because that's all you've known. But again, trust us older people. Amen? There's something about this time in your life where you have a vigor for life that will eventually wane. Amen? And then it'll eventually be lost altogether. Young people tend to be more willing to step out, to take chances. They're not bogged down by past failures. We've all got baggage. We've got things that we've gone through that hinder us. When we look to step out by faith, we remember things. You don't have that. Amen? or at least not as much. It's an amazing time that should be full of optimism. Amen? And that you should be believing for and looking for good things in your life. Looking forward to what Christ is going to do in your life and is doing in your life. And looking for the opportunity every day as a young person to serve Him. If you give this time of your life to Him, and I say this, we kind of joke about, well, the time just flew, and it did. But I'm thankful that even as a young man, I never regret this, that I sought God early. I sought God early in my life, and I never regret it. God kept me from so much. I know He did. And if you give this time of your life to Him, it will affect the rest of your life. It will benefit you the rest of your life. You have an opportunity right now to actually set the course for the rest of your life. And that might seem a little dramatic, right? But it's true. The things that you do now and decide now will actually set the course. And you'll look back as an adult if the Lord should tarry, and you'll see, yeah, I see where God directed me and where I made this choice and this happened. And whenever you make decisions for good and for according to God's word, He's going to bless you for it. Amen? It will make a difference. Let me just read you this one last quote here. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. He says, we'll just start it here in that second paragraph. He says, I was just thinking as I was standing in the room, and Billy Paul put in 25 cents this morning. I remember standing on the same pulpit when Frankie Weber, a neighbor here, he and I went to school together. And I was about 21 or 22, I believe, and he was already 25. When he'd put in the 25 cents, I thought, oh my, Frankie's about ready to die. He's so old. So he's 21 and he's looking to this one who's 25 and thinking how old he is. Frankie's about ready to die. He's so old. And I thought, what will I do when I get to that age, 25? And now my son's putting in 25, he says. He says, it just goes to show that time is fleeting and it waits on no one. And we must work while it is day. For the time will come when we can work no longer. None of us is guaranteed a tomorrow, brother, sister. Amen. He said, I always liked Longfellow's The Psalm of Life. With partings, leave behind us the footprints on the sands of time. We must make footprints while we can make them, each one of us. Let's not waste one day, but make every day count the best that we can for His glory. So tonight, brother, sister, before us, we have many opportunities. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever you're going through, whatever situation or station, time of life that you find yourself, there's an opportunity before you right now. There's an opportunity before you just sitting in church here tonight. There's an opportunity to hear the word. There's an opportunity tonight where an atmosphere has been created. Every time the believers gather together and they create an atmosphere through the worship, through the preaching of the word, it creates an atmosphere. It lifts our faith. That's an opportunity. Amen. Amen? And we can't let it pass. We must take advantage of it. In the scripture, I'll leave you with this thought. We know the story about Joshua. When Joshua and the nation of Israel were fighting the battles, and they were fighting for their very existence. And they were going forward and taking the land that God had promised them. And they began to fight against an enemy, and God said, I will discomfort your enemy. I will drive them before you. Right? And they began to do that, and they were fighting them, and they had the enemy on the run. They were winning the victory. And in those days, what would happen is the armies would array against each other. And they didn't have radios. You know, like today, you know, our armies are coordinated. They've got radios and they have a commander that says, you go over here and you go over there. And then they shoot at long distance. These were face to face. These were men, and communication, what was happening on your right hand and your left hand. You had a soldier on your left and a soldier on your right, and you had an enemy in front of you. And what was happening in the thick of the battle, that's how the war went. And they were fighting and they were defeating the enemy. And they saw their enemy was failing in front of them. They were being defeated. And the enemy would start to break ranks and run. Some men, they couldn't stand in line anymore. They were afraid. They saw that the tide was going against them, and they started to run. And whenever an army would run, would break like that, their morale would break. They could be defeated because then you could push forward and destroy them. But if that army then could regroup, they could get back together again, right? They weren't separated anymore. They could all regroup and group back together. Then they could fight back. But what happened was they were battling. And they saw the enemy was defeated before them. And the enemy was beginning to scatter and run. And they were beginning to spread out. And they were losing that cohesion of an army. They were losing the ability to fight back. And Israel was pressing them. And they began to run out of time. Amen? The day was only so long. And they could only fight while the sun was up. As soon as the sun went down, they knew, Joshua knew that that army, they would regroup, right? All the ones that they had scattered, all that they had accomplished, that enemy would come back and they would regroup, and they would have to refight those battles again, that battle again, to get them back into that condition. And so Joshua, knowing that, he said, "Oh God, let that sun stand still. Give us an opportunity, Lord, to finish this work." Amen? He said, we've got a small window right now where the enemy is on the run. We have a chance to destroy this enemy. And if we don't do it now, it's not going to happen. He recognized that small window of opportunity wouldn't last. And that it would, if the sun were allowed to set, that they would have to refight that battle all over again. Amen? But you see, it comes to recognizing that. Recognizing that we have a mighty God in our midst. We've got a healer here tonight.
Amen.
There's a Holy Spirit baptism here tonight. Amen. Amen? And you say, well, maybe it's for tomorrow. You don't know. Tomorrow might not come. Amen? When the enemy is on the run, when the atmosphere is set, that's the time. That's the moment to strike. We've got an opportunity here in Laodicea. This is what I was talking about. You know, we focus on the negative part of it. We're in Laodicea. We're in this lukewarm age. Yeah, it's an opportunity to overcome it. It's an opportunity to show what it means to be hot and not lukewarm. To show the power of God. If the power of the enemy is at work, that's an opportunity to show the power of God. To let the power of God rule and reign in your life. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the truth of this gospel. You've got an opportunity to do that. You've got an opportunity as a young person to show what a real Christian looks like. Amen. To prove that this is true. Amen? To do what is being preached. To hear the word that's being preached to you. And to do it. To do what God has called you to do. Amen? If you're in the midst of trials, if you're in the midst of pain, it's an opportunity to worship Him. It's an opportunity to sacrifice. Offer the sacrifice of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's an opportunity. A trial is an opportunity. Amen. If someone is gossiping around you, you've got an opportunity. You've got an opportunity to stop it. Amen. You've got an opportunity to make a difference. As we said, every time we come together in a church service, it's an opportunity. We've got to recognize it. We've got to grab a hold of it. We've got to take it. Amen. Each meeting with Him is an opportunity. Each time the atmosphere, you know, in the scripture, in the New Testament, they talk about that pool where the angel would come and stir the water, and whoever jumped in, they'd be healed. There was a small window of opportunity there when that water was stirred up. Amen. When we're here in the atmosphere of faith, the water is stirred. That's the time. You don't want to be the one that's standing around after service saying, man, I wish I would have jumped in. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful service. I wonder what had happened if I had jumped in. Don't let that be your testimony. Jump in. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, His presence presents an opportunity for us. You can approach Him. Just like that young man came into His presence, didn't recognize what he had. But you have an opportunity with the Master to wash His feet, to find help, to ask what you have need of, to honor Him, to praise Him, to recognize Him for who He is. Amen. When we have outpourings and anointed meetings, we don't know how many more of those we'll have. If you've been around long enough, you can think of those in the past. Right? We reminisce about them. But reminiscing about those meetings of the past doesn't do anything for us now. If we didn't take advantage of it, we missed that opportunity. And we don't know how many more we'll have. So we want to recognize it. We want to grab a hold of it. Amen?
Yes.
That's my encouragement to you tonight. Be aware of it. Grab a hold of it. Don't be afraid. The enemy's trying to make you afraid. But don't be afraid. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. We must make footprints while we can make them, each one of us. Let's not waste one day, but make everyone count the best we can for His glory.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we just are so grateful, Lord, that You have given us, Lord, Your Word. You've given us entrance, Lord. You've opened up to us, Lord, the opportunity to step in to eternal life. You've given the church Your Spirit. You've made an invitation, whosoever will. He that's thirsty, let him come. You've opened it up, Lord. You've made an entrance and given an opportunity for each one. Lord, we want to take advantage of it. We want to take advantage of everything that You provided for us. Father, many things said tonight from Your Word. Lord, they might be hard. Father, they might be convicting. They might be encouraging. Lord, but I pray that each word, Lord, would find its proper bedding ground tonight. Lord, and I pray for every young person here tonight, Lord, that they would not let the enemy cheat them out of what You have called them to do. Not let fear or doubt stand in their way, but that they would grab a hold, Father, of this great opportunity that you've placed in each and every one of them. You're placing it before them. I believe through the preaching of your word, Lord, you're making it known. They've got a chance. They've got something before them that's precious. The chance to stand here on earth and stand for Jesus Christ. To be filled with His Spirit. To take a stand and be counted as one of them. Father, I pray that you would just speak to each one, Lord. Speak to each heart, each life, Father. And I pray that you'd give them spiritual vision, Lord, that they can see clearly each opportunity that lies before them. Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight. I pray that you would just water this word, Lord. We just commit it to you. For we love you, Lord. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to take advantage of this small time that we have here on earth, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful. Amen. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful for Him tonight? Amen. If you're thankful, you can thank Him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. My eyes are open, Lord. I'm not going down with this world. This world's going down, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My eyes are open. Thank you, Lord, for the light of the gospel that's shown in my life. Thank you, Lord, for putting a hunger in my heart for you. Thank you, Lord, for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for drawing me. I want you to thank Him tonight. Amen. You're blessed tonight. If you want more of Him, you're blessed. If you have a heart to serve God, you're blessed tonight. If there's anything in your life that wants Him, you are blessed. And you ought to thank Him for it. You ought to worship Him for that. You ought to thank Him for this opportunity that we have called life. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's thank Him tonight. Amen. And the best way that you can thank Him is to take advantage of it. That's the best way I know. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Now I'm going to run with it, Lord. I'm going to walk in it, Lord. I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to speak it with my mouth. That's how we honor Him, brother, sister. That's what He loves to see. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? Amen. You can thank Him tonight. This is a time of thanksgiving. It's a season of thanksgiving tonight. We should be thankful above all people. We should be the ones that be able to shout it from the rooftops, thank you, Lord. But you've got this trial and this struggle in your life. But I thank you, Lord. That struggle is just an opportunity to say, I thank you, Lord. It's an opportunity to praise Him through the struggle. You're beaten down with depression, got the blues. It's an opportunity to say, but I have a God. I serve a mighty God. Things may not be going the way I want, but I'm going to begin to count my blessings. Oh, God has been so good to me. Oh, I can't even begin to count them. He's been so good to me. Hallelujah. What happens, brother, sister? You've got an opportunity to praise God then. You've got an opportunity to put that old depression demon in his place. Say, not this time, devil. I'm not going to give you place in my life. I'm going to take this chance to praise my God. Hallelujah. When pain racks our bodies, that's when we say, thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ is my healer. I don't care what the symptoms say. The symptoms are just an opportunity to praise God. One day Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown in jail. And instead of having a pity party, they said, you know what? This is an opportunity to have a praise meeting. They began to worship and praise God in the midst of their circumstance. Hallelujah. They began to praise Him no matter what. We've only got so much time, they said, here on earth. Let's use it. God's given us this time in prison. We haven't got anything better to do. Let's praise God. Amen. We've got an opportunity here tonight to praise God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him. Hallelujah. Let's sing now, I bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In prisoner's chains, in prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, all and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain, they said, we have an opportunity. In their pain, their chains were loose, and they were free. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I give you all. Oh, yes, Lord, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth. Above all names, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I bless your name. Let's sing that last verse again. That's your opportunity. Amen.